Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
By Just Blaze and the good folks at Rockefeller Records.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho, H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z. I guess even back then you can call me CEO of the R-O-C. Ho! Fresh out the frying pan into the fire. I be the music biz number one supplier. Fly it in a piece of paper bearing my name. Got the hottest chick in the game wearing my chain. That's right.
Oh, H to the V-O. Hey, Tony here. Back again. Malcolm Go Podcast.
Tom Brady could do that.
And you know what week it is, baby. It's September 30th, 2021. Tony, Tyler, KP on the Zoom or whatever the fuck we got. And special guest coming in later on today from WBZ, CBS Boston, my personal friend, friend of the show, Michael Hurley. Let's just get it right out of the way fast. I did not get interviewed by the NFL Network. It did not happen. There was a disaster that would happen. I mean, she made me feel like Cinderella for about 5 days. This person texting me and emailing me, and she says, "You know what? We're gonna change." They were originally gonna do it Tuesday at Fenway. It was gonna be a sit down situation somewhere, and I was like, "Okay, whatever. I don't care. I have to work, but I'll blow some of that off." And they said, "No, we're gonna change it to Sunday at the tailgate." I said, "All right, cool. I'll be there." Set up, got there at like 10. I was there at 10. 3 hours to game time. And they were like, "Oh, we're on the other side of the, you know," text me her location. She's like, "Okay, got this person over here, this person over here, and I'm going to come see you. And then you're going to be our last big interview. We're going to sit down and do this thing." I said, "Cool, that sounds great." And then, hours go by. And I'm doing some keto. So I haven't been eating my carbs too much. So I was about a few seltzies deep, and I was a little bit lit. To be honest, I was lit by, it was about 10:15, 10:20. I was already in the bag. So anyway, I'm like, "Where is this lady?" And, I text them. They're like, "Oh, we're on lot 52. Never heard of it. Never heard of lot 52. Sounds like it could have been,
that's fake.
Who knows? It's one of those, it's got to be one of those dirt ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. When nobody goes. And then, anyway, so I'm like, "Okay." And they're like, "We're here, but we need you to just wait for us before the game, wait for us." And I was like, "What?" And it was literally like 12:58. I was like, "I'm not waiting for you." And as you said, KP, we do not miss kickoff in this house. We do not miss kickoff in this house.
Don't do that.
I'm not going to miss an opportunity to stand for the national anthem, okay? God damn it, I don't believe in it. I'm going to be there.
That's your Southern boy. That's your inner Southern boy coming out. I'm proud.
I had to go there and salute. So that didn't happen. And she showed no remorse. I'm sure.
I need a response. Like, what did you, like, was your text like, "Hell no"?
They probably listened to our fake interview last week and were like, "This guy's not worth it." If I had to guess.
I mean, the fake interview definitely didn't help.
It didn't. You were a comedian at one point, correct?
Former.
Yeah. You had to retire, but I mean, it did at one point. You were one of them.
I just. You would have been dynamite. Three seltzers deep, though. You would have been dynamite for their program.
That's a terrible thing to say. Three seltzers deep. I got to about. I had a 12 pack, and they were gone before the game started. So.
Atta boy.
And I mean, I'm not happy about the seltzers, but they got no carbs. You see where I'm going with that?
I actually got a. I got tickets. Well, not tickets exactly. I got a connection to the game to go this week.
This is gonna fail spectacularly.
Someone told me I could be a security guard on the field for the game.
You need to wear a yellow jacket. You can't stay. You can't turn around, right? That's the bit.
Yeah, I'm about to say they face away from the game. That's a miserable game.
Is it because I?
I mean, you're only going for one game. Might as well just do whatever you want.
I'm comfortable getting fired at halftime.
Who cares?
Yeah,
you just don't want to get banned from the stadium, which is the only issue.
Is that this past weekend, or is that this weekend?
No, he's got the Brady game security. It's lit.
You're shitting me. If you better, I expect trip him. Trip him when he runs out of the locker room.
There is one thing. I mean, getting banned from the stadium. I think I might be banned currently.
Yeah. How's that ever enforceable?
I've walked in the stadium after that, and I haven't seen my face, a picture of me on the wall.
Unless you're a season ticket holder, there's no accountability to that.
You lose your tickets, but how are they going to
know? Do you remember the guy that threw the beer at
the Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, the guy, he threw the beer at Tyreek Hill. They're like, we're going to track him down. And then, they put his name everywhere. They, try to bring him to jail. I don't know what the fuck happened. He threw beer on a guy that punched his pregnant girlfriend's stomach. And, they tried to put him in prison for 15 years. They're like, he's never come to a game again. I guarantee you he's been to a game since.
It's like the dude this year. I forget which. Was it the Celtics? He threw the water bottle and they tried to charge him with Kyrie. Battery.
Oh, yeah.
Kyrie deserves it. Whatever.
They love to do especially with Celtics fans or Boston fans in general, if they'll do anything to an athlete of color, they are going to jump right down the racist hole.
I'm fine with that as long as you stop suspending players for fighting fans.
They should still have the Boston Bruins, New York Rangers, or a Malice at the Palace.
Exactly.
We need to rewind. Tyler, are you going to do the security? That's step one.
He has to. What do you mean?
I mean,
he signed up for it.
Yeah, I mean,
We're not going to go back on our commitments.
This is huge. How drunk can a security guard be is the question.
They don't care. They're all drunk. Cheerleaders are drunk for sure. Half of them are men now. I don't understand why they have male cheerleaders. Male cheerleaders in college are like the lifters. You know what I mean?
Have you seen cheer? Yeah. What are you talking about?
There's not much cheerleading happening anymore. Like it used to be back in the day. There used to be 50, and they would go from corner of end zone to corner of end zone. Now I think they literally have 12 girls. And
the Yell team.
And two guys.
Well, that's the thing. They haven't lowered how many cheerleaders they want.
Yeah.
There just haven't been enough cheerleaders to meet their expectations.
Probably. I remember 25 years ago getting autographs at the Revere Movie Theater. And I was like, this is awesome. There was 30 Patriots cheerleaders there.
Yeah.
Waited in line forever before fucking Jurassic Park 2, whatever the hell is going on.
Guys who say oh yeah, I love the cheerleaders at the games are the same guys who if they went for they're doing a 5K, they're like, oh, I'm only here for the beer after. It's not for any of that. You're fucking lying.
It's just weird. Yeah, they have no cheerleaders. Two of them are guys, and they don't do any lifting or any of that. So what's the point of the men cheerleaders just for
the best part is it's the guys at the end that with their muskets. Those are your cheerleaders.
Those guys are real Civil War reenactors or Revolutionary War reenactors.
Oh, those guys are from South Carolina. Same hometown as me.
Who is?
They're not there. Come on. Those are Southern boys. We're not going to go with that's the Union.
They're going to wear the blue jackets? I doubt it.
We're still fighting.
I know the South does not believe that they've lost the war and it will never be over.
It's not over.
You were born in the North, though. You were a Saugus boy for a minute, weren't you?
No.
I think you were.
I was born. I'm born and raised in Columbia, South Carolina.
I disagree. What hospital? Name the hospital. Name the hospital.
I was born at Richland Memorial at home. I wasn't born in Saugus.
Baloney. I thought that
my dad was there for the record winner, and he said fuck that, and immediately moved back.
That was 96, where I had 2 weeks off from school. Classic. Kids these days don't even know what a snow day is.
I've been to many Sachem's football games. I've never seen a win though.
I've been to even more, and I don't think I've seen one. I played in most of them. Oh, boy. Who's excited for this week? I'm a bit nervous, to be honest.
I mean, excited? I don't.
Maybe we should get out of the way the old uh, the last game, which was terrible. I was mildly upset that I didn't stay for the interview by the way that the Patriots played last week. First of all, they got just manhandled by the Saints defense. I thought our defense played pretty good. But
our defense
they did everything
good.
They could. Our defense is stellar. J.C. Jackson is a number one. We need Stephon Gilmore back.
Yeah, he would help this week a great deal. But Judon is the truth.
He's unbelievable. So is Barmore, though. He's a stud.
Yeah, I definitely do like him. I like Jadu. I don't even know how to say his name. Jacru?
Judon.
No. The Miami D tackle.
Oh, Godchow?
I don't know how to say his name.
Godchow. The guy.
It's one of the Louisiana names.
Truck.
Just X's. I wish you know how like Joe Burrow came out with like in his last name. You know, went on his final game in Louisiana. Yeah. It was like Burrow with the X at the end. I want to do that to myself. I'm just gonna be Low Conti, but L E A U X.
Low Conto.
And then Conti. No, I'm just gonna do it at the first part. Low. L E A U X.
That'd be unbelievable. Our linebackers, badass. By the way,
when
super
I play for
slow.
LSU. What?
We need faster linebackers. We need to find them immediately.
Well, KP was texting me that he wants Jamie Collins. That's how fair weather he is.
They really only play
fair weather. Bill Belichick's the only coach that knows how to play him, and he's always good. He'll give us four good games, and then he can go back and think he's good again and go somewhere else.
Well, there was a few weird things. Like Uche didn't play.
No,
healthy scratch.
No, he wasn't a healthy scratch. He was injured.
Was he?
Yeah, allegedly.
Because he practiced before. Like, he did his warm-ups before, but all right, so he's injured. That's good.
Yeah,
they always do that.
They said something was wrong with his back. I don't know what it was, but something. And then
because if for some reason they were playing Winovich over him, I would have. I don't even know.
Yeah, no, Uche is a monster when he plays. And
he's hurt.
He popped up with, like, a back injury on Friday, and then, you know, and then he didn't play Sunday. I didn't even know that was going to happen, and I was very.
And then James
by it.
White, James, I almost
James
cried.
White.
That might hurt. Be his last game ever.
Probably
his
yeah.
hip is off of his body. Yeah, he's done.
That was insane.
That was that's a Bo Jackson type injury.
I've never seen it like it was like all of a sudden there was like a big bone that you could just see on
popped
the side
up,
of his
right?
leg. That was nasty.
But they never
his
said what it was, and they still haven't put him on IR yet. They said it's over, but
they said his hip like dislodged from whatever that other thing is. I'm no doctor,
Elvis.
But it's.
That's obvious.
Potentially.
That much is obvious.
It just came out. Like, your hip doesn't come out.
That's Bo Jackson. That's
Bo
what
Jackson
happened to
did it. But that's a, you know, Bo an 88 that ends your life, career, and everything. In 2021, they'll probably pop it back in tomorrow. There was always that story.
I think he's done.
He's not going to be. He's definitely done this year. I don't know if he can play again.
I mean, that's literally ruined the game plan instantly.
Can't pick up a blitz. Nobody could pick up a blitz to save their life.
No, we had Bolden had to play second and third down because we were playing from behind, so we had to pass a lot. Harris.
God, I don't ever want to see him again.
There's something wrong with Harris where he can't pass protect.
No,
so,
it's also
falls
like
apart.
It's like, oh damn it! I wish we still had that guy Sony Michel.
Yeah, who's that guy that everyone hated?
Well, I mean, I think Stevenson will be good. He'll be fine when it comes, but he has to hold.
Belichick
the
has to. Yeah, but if you fumble. Bill is going to just put you in the doghouse and make you learn your lesson for ever, apparently.
But we have no third down back.
Well, you have no one.
I mean, J.J. Taylor now.
He doesn't play third
down.
He can't block.
Yeah, the guy's the size. He's the size of Sonny.
Figured out. Who else they got?
They got
Bolden, Stevenson, and Harris.
When we gave it to Bolden, second and third down, that was the worst sequence.
Mac Jones finally gets it going. He gets it all the way down. He starts running. You know, I don't think he set his feet all game. Every single pass, you know, and I think maybe he heard the chirps. I don't know if it was him or McDaniels heard the chirps, but right out of the gate, they're throwing bombs. None of them connect.
Overthrown by 7 yards.
Yeah. Two in a row. He had Aguilar for a touchdown. They both, I guess they just miscommunicated, whatever.
Well, they were all safe throws.
Oh, here comes our good friend.
I thought Bourne was really good. Oh, sorry.
Michael, what's happening?
Big friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. All right, I don't know if you can see who is on the screen here with you. That's KP, he's down south, and then you only see me, but Tyler's here too. So
cool.
How's it going?
Good. You know, it is the ultimate compliment to your podcast that I would go on in the middle of Jags-Bengals.
I don't disagree.
there's no greater compliment, so I just want you to know that.
Chasing my Jamar Chase money right now. I need some big points out of Jamar.
The guy had a tough push-off for you, unfortunately.
You had a push-off? I hate to see it.
Yep.
That was terrible. It was very obvious, too. Very blatant.
It will be used in the instructional videos for the referees.
I'm a big fan of Michael Hurley on Twitter. Respond to him almost every day. And we made great contact last year. I was interviewed for him, and he set off I don't know, it was the domino effect. I was just telling a story how the NFL Network asked to interview me, and they blew me off on Sunday, so that didn't happen. But it was a good blow off. I felt really good about it. I was about 12 or 13 seltzers deep by 10:15, so it was gonna be good. And then anyway, the Tampa Bay Times. I told KP that they called me randomly yesterday and asked and interviewed me.
Wow, I think they something read about something about you. You know,
it's the Saugus mentality.
No, we need to get to the bottom of this, Michael. How did you find Tony? Like, what was it?
So I was writing a story about, you know, how Patriots fans felt about Brady last year going into the Super Bowl. And I think I just went through like my mentions and people that kind of came up regularly, and your name is like Brady Disciple. So I'm like, well, I think I know where he stands. So let's see. I needed the gamut of emotions. And I searched through, you know, my tweets from other people that were like, screw Tom, I'm all on Team Bill and stuff like that. So I kind of spaced it out, but maybe, you know, I didn't blow you off for the record. So I got
no, I didn't. No, hey. I was at work and I did not look my best, and there was video attached. Not my favorite thing. Sorry, you got a good head of hair.
I apologize.
I have zero hair. So
that was a good story. I thought it was interesting because I was thinking about that too. Like, and you said it yourself. The feelings. I mean, I don't know if you know this. Brady is coming back this week. It's a whole story.
I was more excited for Antonio Brown, but
he finally gets to play at Gillette.
Yeah.
But it was funny, like. You and everyone like that was like Team Brady was like still mad at Gronk.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I still
which
am.
Is funnier because like Gronk is like objectively like cooler. Like if you were hanging out with your friends, you'd have a much better time with Gronkowski around. But there's something about the whole interaction there that I'm curious about. If he doesn't play, it'll kind of ruin part of this weekend.
I bet you I don't know. Would they fly him up? They would have to probably fly him up. He must still have a house here. What does he do? I don't know. He just collects houses and does whatever he wants. But I'm sure he still lives around here. Must fly up. I'm mostly annoyed that we gave him that send off. You know what I mean? Like he came back week one, whatever year year he fake retired, came back week one. He had like the biggest ovation in Gillette Stadium history. You know, non game playing, spikes the ball. I think it had to be when 2019 when they got the sixth trophy because he brought it out and then spiked.
It was one of the better. Yeah. Banner ceremonies they've had. It was cool. It was high tech. You know, that sometimes it's like, did it happen? Is it over? That one was like, that one was a show.
That we have to rank the rank the banner ceremonies.
There was like the Mark Wahlberg one that gets a big thumbs down.
I tried to spit on Mark Wahlberg from 75 rows away due to his he left the game. He left the Atlanta Falcons game, and then he's out there. New Kids on the Blocking us right there. No, he wasn't New Kids on the Block. I was his brother. I didn't like that.
Well,
one
same
bit.
Thing.
He also claimed that he would have safely taken the 9/11 plane. Back
I do
from
believe
the
that though. If you've ever seen Shooter, or
you know what, one
Nights,
thing about especially. Actors who act tough in films and television, they're acting. They're not actually tough. He's like 5'6". Yeah. He would have gotten the Heisman, and I don't. He's basically calling everyone that died a coward too, which is like, you know, Mark.
Oh, it was so cringe.
I don't know. Tyler might agree with that.
I don't know if he ever brought that back. Did he ever rescind that? He's got a lot of hard takes on it. I mean, I don't know. He's got a rough going. So, how are you feeling about this week? Do you get to go to the game?
I do, which I'm looking forward to. It might be the apex of the season, if we're being honest, from an interest standpoint.
Oof.
It's exhausting. I gotta be honest. It's Thursday. I am like beat. It's a long slog to get there, but understandably, it's like a once in a lifetime thing. I don't remember Jordan going back to Chicago, but even still, it was like a basketball game, probably on a Tuesday.
Yeah, right.
And it wasn't a Sunday night football. Like it wasn't the NFL in 2021. So, it's gonna be like we've seen some crazy stuff down there through the years, but this is gonna be. Just the lead up and the feeling. And then once the game starts, unfortunately, I don't know. I just feel like it might be one of those nights.
Yeah, I don't see a way that they can compete with any position at all, really, to be honest with you. But I'm going to go in there with high hopes. And it's funny you said Jordan because Brady was playing up the flu game a little bit today. He pretended he had a cough. And I know his
I didn't like that. I'm scared of that. I need him to be like healthy, 100% healthy.
He's 100% healthy.
He's gonna beat our ass. Just beat our ass.
He's sick, and he's coming off a loss.
Yeah,
I'm like, terrified.
That's a bad combo. He was sick before Super Bowl 49. You might remember he did we got a million website clicks because we did Tom Brady has a cold, a little Frank Sinatra has a cold play.
Yeah,
and he had a good fourth quarter against the Seahawks. So
that's it. Good friend of yours was there. Me, I was in the back, way in the back, arguing with a security guard during the Malcolm Butler interception.
Oh no!
Yeah, it was a good story. I mean, I
legendary photograph.
Yeah, so if you ever seen a what do they call it? Panoramic photograph. Those things that they sell for after the Super Bowl. I could spot me, and I could spot the guy in the red shirt talking to me about a fight that happened in the first quarter, like eight rows in front of me between two Patriots fans, and I missed it, and I lost my mind on the security guard. Not allowed in Phoenix anymore, wherever it was.
That's fine.
Yeah. No, there's way too many bedazzled jeans. It's an odd spot.
I was in the bowels of the stadium for that one, because I guess it's like inside baseball, but my Super Bowl credentials have always been like to the auxiliary media. I've since learned how to find my way into the stadium and watch the game and work from the stadium. Yeah. But that was my first one, so I just did what I was told. So I was in the bowels watching on TV. And out in the hallway, all the Seahawks wives and mothers and children were starting to get shuffled toward the field. And they were right outside the door because they were about to win the Super Bowl, you know. And then Dan Copen, who was working for Comcast at the time, was watching on a TV, and they were ahead of me. I was on a delay. And he just goes, he's just losing his mind. Like, whoa, whoa. And I'm like, I mean, is it like an incomplete pass or like a run stuff? Like, he's not like, what? What could possibly it's that? Like, they're not going to, like, throw a pick. And it was like, oh. It was like, literally, he was here, and right behind him was all of the Seahawks family members. And they had
tripping their babies. Sorry.
It was like a Grandpa Simpson, like, in and out.
He puts his hat on, comes back out. Yeah, exactly. That was a good
Is that the top play in Pat's history?
Easily.
Well, because
easily?
NFL history.
It had been 10 years. And it's like when Curse made that catch, it's like, it's just never going to happen. And you could see Brady's face on the sideline. He's like, it's never going to friggin' happen again.
Tyree catch, the Manningham catch. It was also
the Julio catch is the best of them all. I don't give a shit. That's true. The Julio's that's true. Catch was a joke.
That was, but that was an epic fail, top to bottom on that drive. That was like at the 22-yard line, wasn't it? Something like that.
I thought it was deeper than that.
It was, right around there. That was one where live you're like, why do they rule him in? There's no way he was in. And then they show a replay, and you're like, what?
I know. And literally, Matt Ryan made the perfect throw. I don't know. That was a crazy.
And then Trey Flowers appeared. Oh,
hogs.
Hogs. Anyways,
big hog fan. This sometimes turns into an Arkansas Razorbacks podcast. I don't know if you've heard that, but anyway, have you gotten into this Wickersham book at all? I think it was written Stephen King as a ghostwriter.
I don't have the book. Yeah. I'm familiar with his work. I'm familiar with the stories. I don't know. I get that it's like scintillating, but at a certain point, someone's got to put their name on some stuff for me to really get invested on it.
I don't know if anybody.
What I was thinking of was like the two Bills when that came out a few years ago, and Belichick and Parcells sat down and they hashed things out and they had uncomfortable conversations, and Bill was like, well, I kind of regret not talking to you, like, I don't know, 20 years ago. I feel like we'll get that with Brady and Belichick because, you know, Belichick's 69 years old. Brady is happy-go-lucky, Tony Robbins, power of positive thinking. Like, I don't think he'll hold a grudge. I think eventually we'll get more. I don't know how honest they'll be when they talk, but at least it will be them talking and not random people we don't know.
Yeah, I like Bill. Bill shut it down pretty quick in the press conference this year. I mean, now this week he was like, third or fourth hand counts. I don't know what that is. That doesn't make any sense. The nonsense, like it was but he left during, like, it was COVID had just started and Bill was on Nantucket or whatever was going on. They just never mentioned that. It was in that book, The Dynasty, which I think actually had sources because Kraft and everybody was interviewed for it. And,
it was Brady on Stern.
He did it too, yeah.
Yeah, he was like, I went to Kraft's house and then it was late, so I called Bill. It's like, I couldn't see him. He was like, it was fine.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if he's lying. I don't know. I mean, I saw Seth Wickersham on NBC Sports Boston saying, like, this was a close friend of Brady who said this is how Brady felt. And it's like, all right. I don't know. I'm, if you go to my Twitter, my pinned tweet is me saying I want to like stab myself in the eyeballs or something.
Yeah.
And it's because I was on Quickslants and we were like dissecting Brady's feelings about something. And it was like, I don't know, man. Like,
is that Karin?
I get it.
That's Karin's show, right?
Yeah.
And he's the Brady insider nowadays.
That was a good gig for a year, but I wasn't good enough at it for a year too. But
bumped you?
It's just like, you know, the feelings and stuff. It's like, I don't know. Like, it's not that interesting to me. I get it. I'm not the majority.
It becomes a little too much TMZ.
At the end of the day, it's a bunch of grown men. They don't hate each other.
It's only a Boston thing. It's a Boston thing where I don't know, get way too invested in players' lives. Nobody, you know, Tampa Bay, I guarantee you, they don't give a shit about Alex Guerrero. I guarantee you, they probably don't even know who he is.
They don't know who he is. No shot they have any clue. I have a question. I've got one. Post game, after the Pats win by, you know, 20, post game embrace between Bill and Tom, what are we looking at? Like, what? Are we looking at a hug?
For sure a hug. Because I think you're just saying, like, and I wrote about it last night. I just like riffed on it. Like, people don't understand their relationship was like so football. Like, they could sit down and talk football for all day. But if you said, all right, sit down and don't talk football, they'd be like, and I think that's just Belichick.
Like, he doesn't have a personality. Saban documentary.
Last year, the HBO films, I mean, the NFL films on HBO,
yeah.
You know, Belichick meets up with Saban for the first time in months and they start talking scheme and they start talking, you know, plays and things like, could you guys leave us alone? We want to talk privately. It's like, so were you running the 4-3 there? It's like, that's who Bill is. So it's like, yeah, he's not going bowling with Brady on the weekend. So there's just a deep respect football wise. They're both geniuses at football.
Yeah.
And 20 years together, they won more than anyone else has. It ended, you know, sour, but I don't think either of them is sitting around like kicking dirt about it. So they'll hug one way or the other. I'm not sure the Patriots will win by 20. But you never know.
18.
We're an optimistic podcast.
Yeah, good. I don't think we've picked against them yet. But
4 years.
Yeah, I think we've been doing this 4 or 5 years, never picked against them. What did I want? Oh, you just lost my train
like
of
that.
Thought. Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with them with like the way he left or I don't think there was anything wrong with any of the situations.
Me either.
I think everyone decided, you know,
it's the reporting
for everyone. Well,
I do. I think all right, so Brady was 37. They draft Garoppolo. Obviously, we know he outperformed that, and he won. You know, Brady was 40. They had to trade Garoppolo. He was 40 years old. He played at an MVP level, threw 500 yards in the Super Bowl, was still Tom Brady, had been very outspoken, like, I want to play till I'm 45. They lose the Super Bowl because I don't know if you guys are familiar with Malcolm Butler.
Not from that game. I know that Bill Belichick drank.
I don't remember him in
that game. Strength.
So they just throw a Super Bowl in the trash in a night where he throws for 500 yards after beating the Jaguars with, you know, the gash in his hand, the number one defense in the league. And then they say, all right, buddy, you get a $15 million deal with $5 million in incentives. Go earn it. Yeah. And it's like,
slap in the face a little bit.
That was 2 years in a row. He earned the incentives in 17. And like, you would think at that point, he'd be like, all right, you're our guy for 3 years. And it was still 1 year incentives. And then it was 1 year incentives. And it was like, and then even, you know, after the 2019 season, there was a Field Yates report and it was, you know, it was text copied and pasted right from Bill. And it said, like, many people are wondering when the Patriots are going to make an offer to Brady, something they already did last August. And it's like, he rejected it in August, and that's why you're in this. So to me, if you want to move on from Brady, that's fine. If you want to bet against a 43-year-old, I have no problem with that. That's just being prudent. But the backup plan was Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer, and then ever veterans still around in
you
July.
Think that they ever even had an inkling that he was going to leave? Probably not. I mean, I was like,
well,
because
he had
make sense.
He had just sucked it up and eaten crap for so many years that I'm sure they did. But I think, honestly, it was in 2019, the offense was not built to win, and the defense was so damn good that I think Brady went in the huddle and was like, damn it, if we had a tight end, like, all due respect to Ben Watson, but Ben Watson coming out of retirement, if we had a tight end and another guy with Edelman, we would easily win the Super Bowl. Like, it wouldn't even be because the defense was that good.
He didn't give Harry a chance. It was a lot of stuff. I don't know. I read a lot of reports that, or Jeff Howe, who I trust, him and Mike Reese, I choose to trust. I don't know who.
Two of the biggest dirtbags on the beat, those two. Everyone.
So I don't know. But anyway, I always, you know, and they both said that they offered him 2 years, $53 million. He said no because he didn't want to come back.
Well, the structure was not known in that. So if he didn't take the 250, and at that point still, I think it was a matter of, you know, the offense was deteriorating.
It was.
And that's another thing. Before the 2018 season, trying to trade Gronkowski, I understand he was, you know, acting up after
wearing
the Super Bowl.
Motorcycle helmets.
Yeah. For sure. But trading him for a pick, they don't win the Super Bowl that year. So that would have been two Super Bowls you kick away just because.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Who's making that choice? Is that Bill or Bob? Like, who's
Bill?
Who's not?
That's Bill.
Every time.
The whole thing.
From what we know, I think Gronk has admitted he threatened retirement. Like, you can trade me, but I'll retire. Yeah. And then you think back,
was
like
a first round pick for Gronk. Too?
I think it was, which they ended up taking Hawkinson with the Lions. Did I think so? In theoretical land, they would have gotten a tight end. I mean, they probably would have traded down and taken a guard. But you don't win in Kansas City without Gronkowski. You don't win the Super Bowl without Gronkowski. Yeah. So it's like, man, if you really think about that management, I don't know what happened that made Bill want to build the team that way from 17, 18, and 19, but. That to me is where it went wrong because, like, you had a Super Bowl caliber quarterback and now you don't. In the offense, it's were you guys at the game? Were you at the game?
I was there, yeah.
Like,
tough
it was
to watch.
So bad.
It's I was like, laid out with the sun in my face for most, but I couldn't take it anymore. I mean, I almost said Jared said Mac Jones didn't set his feet at all in the game. I don't know, they couldn't block.
The pocket was just constantly shrinking on him, and it's like
the right side of the line is a joke.
It was a weird thing last week.
Can't do anything.
Yeah, last week it was it was like, all right, they need a right tackle. Week one, it was like the right tackle's a problem. Last week, it was just like there were people sneaking through the A gap. There was
even David Andrews was bad. That's rare.
It's not going to be much better this week.
A cornerback pancaked our right tackle in that game on a blitz in the third quarter.
Really?
It was like, what happened to this? I thought our offensive line was supposed to be one of the most dominant.
That's what that was the hype the whole time.
Well, you need Trent Brown. Yeah. You need him immediately to come back.
I don't know. But getting back to the – I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat with you for a second. I'm very adamant that Tom Brady was going to leave when he left, and I'm adamant that he told Gronkowski to sit out a year. I think that he was – nothing will ever change my mind. I think he told Gronkowski to sit out a year, do whatever he wanted to do, get healthy, and then wherever he goes – you come with me.
I mean, I don't think that's that tinfoily. And I think Gronk always had some leverage in that with his agent being Rosenhaus. Because, you know, if he was his own agent, Bill could be like, I'm not trading you. Like, enjoy retirement. But I think knowing that you have to work with Rosenhaus, doing a solid like that for a player that otherwise wouldn't get you anything, kind of was his leverage in that. And I do also think, though, that there was a lot of legitimacy to Gronk being broken.
Yeah.
The way I always put it with him is on a play where a normal player gets hit once, he would get hit four or five times. So 2 years in the league for him is like 5 or 6 years for most normal players. So
lived a completely different life with people just, grown men hanging on him at every single play. And he's trying to run and no penalties, they couldn't give him penalties anymore.
I put that in, it was like a weekly feature in my leftover thoughts thing was like, here's a picture of Gronkowski dragging multiple human beings across the field. This week, and then next week we'll do it again. So I do think his body needed it. Yeah. So yeah, maybe a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But that being said, like, so Gronk retires. It didn't sneak up on them. And then they went with Watson out of retirement, Lacoste, Izzo, and it was just like, oh, like that's you're always going to downgrade. But man,
Gronk's getting booed this weekend.
He isn't. There's no chance he's getting booed. I think that if he shows up, he's not getting booed. But he's not getting. I mean, they're going to stop the game. I don't know what they're going to do. I kind of am in the camp that Belichick stops the game when he breaks the record just to get him cold from shredding us or something.
I'm going to ask him that tomorrow. That's my plan if the NFL is involved because I looked it up. And so Breeze was obviously at home. Manning was at home. Favre was on the road in 07 when he broke it, and they did stop that game and acknowledged it. That was in St. Louis. So I wonder if, like, the league – I don't know. I'm going to ask and see.
I think Belichick's going to do it on anyway. I think he's going to do it and make a scene of it and just try to get him off his game.
I think Florio floated the idea. I don't know if it was sourced or not, that they're going to try to just hit his emotions and play like, all the videos of Brady winning and like all these great moments to try to like mess with him.
Holding his firstborn kid, his firstborn kid when he was a baby.
Have a message from his parents on the board, maybe. I don't know.
His dad would start slandering all over the place, just spitting whatever vitriol he could find.
I actually, after it might have been the Super Bowl 53, I was down in the field and I was right next to Brady's dad. And I was like, oh, Mr. Brady, I'm Mike Hurley. I just want to introduce myself, say congratulations. And I was like, I covered the Deflategate thing pretty well. And he went from like, his son had just won the Super Bowl to like, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to stoke any flames. So he's
became
a fiery
pit bull real quick. Yeah. He's actually met him once, like probably 15 years ago, and couldn't have been nicer. He was like a priest. I mean, we were in the parking lot and he had Tom's first Super Bowl ring. He was wearing it to the game and he just let a bunch of North Shore creeps wear it. He was like, here, you can wear it. I don't care. Don't run away. Like, if anybody ran away, there was about 20 mob members ready to go smash him. But he couldn't have been nicer. But as of right now, I'm on the outs at old senior. Him and Alex Guerrero. Do you think they've been sent? I don't think Tom Senior, but I certainly think that him and Alex and everybody have been spouting off under you know, not command, but I'd say that they're being allowed to talk.
See, I don't think Alex. I mean, people forget he's got his own grudge with Belichick. He's got his own issues with getting banned from the team playing and all that. Like, he has human feelings too. So I feel like when he came out with all that, it was like double birds from Alex and Alex alone, because he was the one that was basically painted as like Yoko Ono. And it was just like, I mean, we could get into Alex's history and everything like that and kind of be like, but obviously it works for Brady.
Yeah, Tom hates that. Anybody that ever brings up the concussion water or like the cancer cure water, like him going town to town like a
Supreme Greens. Sir.
Yeah, Supreme Greens and, you know, going town to town like a snake oil salesman, just giving people treatments. I mean, yeah, no, you bring that up. He starts snapping.
That was his best EEI interview ever when Minahan
snapped on somebody.
It was like 45 minutes. Yeah, when he was talking about like people think Frosted Flakes are food. Wild.
They're delicious. They've been made for a million years, Tom. Get used to it.
And he was like, Coca-Cola is poison. And I'm like, dude, I think you probably have a soda sponsorship somewhere down the line.
I mean, he does Subway ads now, and I know for a fact that their tuna has like sponges in it. Wasn't that
what I don't get? Like, I try not to pay attention during commercials, but doesn't that commercial say like, oh, I don't eat this, I'm Tom Brady? It's what is this?
That's the opposite of what commercials are supposed to do.
I mean, it used to be like Jared lost 200 pounds and now Jared's in jail.
Yeah, Jared made some poor decisions.
He became a pedophile and now he's in prison not eating any meat.
I got some question.
Meat, not food meat.
I've got one. Did you see Tom today said that they asked him what he thought of Mac? He said, I really haven't watched him. Really haven't seen him much. Do we believe that at all?
No. That was like, hey, Tom, they think they've got the next quarterback of the future up there. What do you think of him? And he was just like, F him.
Yeah.
Which I like a competitive fire. And I think Brady masks it better than like Jordan. Like Jordan, Kobe, those guys are like psychos. And maybe it's the sport itself. Maybe it's the helmet. I mean, we see Brady fired up all the time. But like behind a podium, behind a microphone, like he covers it and masks it so well. But I do think today, that answer was like just a sliver of his competitiveness. Like, haven't watched him. Don't care about him. He is dirt under my shoe. Don't bother me with him again.
He's done that before too. And the times that I can remember, especially one that they lost, that I can remember the media day, whatever the hell they call it now, for the Eagles Super Bowl that they lost. And he was sitting with Foles. And I don't remember who was interviewing. He was like, Tom, you've done this 100 times. You got any, do you got any, what do you call it, like tips for Nick Foles? He's like, no, I don't have any tips for Nick Foles. Something like that. He's like, I'm sure he's fine, whatever.
I don't know if you guys saw or listened to Matt Judon today, but he was good too.
Oh, that was awesome. He was awesome.
It was like 8 questions in a row about Brady, and he was just like, bro. Shut up.
We know
that's not a man to make Matt. That's not a man to make angry.
He's quickly becoming my favorite player. He's brought Baltimore attitude to New England, which I enjoy.
He's like shot out of a cannon every single snap too. I don't know if it's just the red sleeves, But yeah, he's been worth the money so far, unlike, you know, the
everybody else. The so that's what I was gonna
Alligator Arms, what's his name?
John.
That guy couldn't catch a cold last week. That was pathetic.
It was rough. It was rough. I mean, the interception actually was like his least egregious drop because it was like far out in front of him, but you don't want to pop it up. But like there was the one that Mac made an unbelievable throw, like 25 yards, like on a deep over or something like that. And it was just like, how did he not catch that one? So
could have accidentally caught that.
He definitely envisioned a Gronkowski Hernandez duo here. And I didn't, not materializing quick enough.
I think Henry's been fine. I think he's coming off a pretty severe injury. He's all right.
I don't think Mac like doesn't see Hunter Henry until
he's
it's
open
like,
a lot.
Until he's
yeah,
wide
it's like
open.
Fifth check down, he'll be like 2 yards deep by the right sideline and Mac will hit him and it's like that's probably not where you need that one, but I don't know. It's
Aguilar. I mean, they're all brand new. And I don't get
it. What's something like that I thought Jonnu would bring to the offense, and I mentioned it to a friend tonight, like the Bengals ran a play, I think it was Tyler Boyd, ran like just a 2 yard crossing route, and Burrow had a play action and they rolled to his left. He hits the guy on a 2 yard crosser at full speed and it turns into like a 45 yard gain.
Yeah.
And like, we haven't seen the Patriots get a play like that in 2 years. Like,
Edelman
it's
could
so
have
easy.
Done it, and that's probably it. Now, well, they got the Savior coming back this week. I think N'Keal Harry is going to be that guy. N'Keal Harry is the guy that's running your crossers.
I can't tell him about our bet, and I want to know what side you're on.
He'll be on my side. He's a Harry guy through and through. I can see it.
Harry.
Yeah. So anyway, we were all way out on Harry, especially when he got traded, where he wanted to get traded, which is to your point of Rosenhaus. Like, I'm not trading you, dude. Are you serious? Who's this guy that just sent me an email? And so anyway. I was like, you know, I'm getting all the reports, and everybody's like, oh, Harry's the best player. He's the best receiver in camp. Easily the best receiver in camp. I fall in love fast again. So my heart's ready to get broken again, but I bet my cousin Kenneth here that he's going to have at least – he'll have a touchdown in the first three games he plays. Of course, that's now game 4 through 6 instead of 1 through 3. But, I mean
– How many touchdowns do they have so far? Two?
They don't throw the ball in the red zone.
They don't throw it into the end zone, so that will be tough.
That's all right. There's nothing
to get happen.
There. Yeah, one touchdown.
I don't know why they won't let Mac Jones throw past the goal line. I think that would be crucial to getting wide receivers some touchdowns.
Good start. And especially
I have
on,
a take.
A,
I think
a
Kendrick
fadeaway
Bourne
throw
good.
To Kendrick Bourne in the corner.
I think he's good. I think we should use him more in the right way. I think in the middle of the field, those crossers, I think he's good at that. But instead, we run fades.
Pitches. I do like Bourne in that sort of, I don't know, like a branch role, like an Edelman light role, like sort of all over the field quickness. But with Harry, like, yeah, obviously, you know, great in training camp, great in the practice field. How did you like his preseason?
He stunk.
He got injured trying to catch a ball,
that wasn't my favorite. I'll be honest,
not great. He had like the 1 yard crosser that almost was a loss, but I think he got back to the line.
Three yards.
To me, I'm always like, last year it was week one. He's what? I just googled the name so I could get. So N'Keal is 6'3", 225. Remember when he came around the edge and Jamal Perry was there, like 5'10", 180.
Yeah,
and just absolutely railroaded him.
Like a bollard. Yes, like a Mack truck hitting a bollard. Just stopped him immediately.
Like, and is that the game he fumbled into the end zone too?
I think it was the same game. That's when I texted you, KP. I was like, this guy might not have it. He ran, he ran into the cornerback, and the cornerback knocked him on his ass. And he was going full speed. The cornerback was just standing there.
If they
it was
that
not
touchdown
good.
He had against the Chiefs, I think his career is completely different.
That was
like week 5.
Butterfly effect.
Yep.
Yeah, he dives.
It's an Ashton Kutcher vehicle.
He's a hero in one of the biggest games of the year.
Everyone would.
That was
so
amazing
proud.
That game because that was Harry scored, was ruled out of bounds. They didn't have challenges, and they remember Kelce fumbled.
Yes. Yeah,
and like Hightower or Van Noy or someone like returned
to the end zone.
Was that when Hoyer and Stidham were leading us to the promised land?
No, that was last year. This was 2 years.
We're
ago.
We're going 2 years ago. Oh,
you're talking when Cam had COVID.
I think they lost to the Chiefs by 7.
Yeah,
and it was like those two plays like happened.
It flipped it completely. So I saw your you were getting which anybody does, even me and my light following on Twitter. You put out the stats of Cam and Mac.
Oh,
you guys getting was there venom in the streets, running red with your blood? They were all over you.
I'll check out the numbers because people are still replying. So
all he did was put up the stats of what, the first three games of Cam last year? Or the same teams, right? The same...
Yeah, well, I did both. I did Cam weeks 1 through 3, which he, you know, had a 68% completion rate, 714 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, plus 149 rush yards and 4 touchdowns. Mac has completed 67.5%, 737, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 28 yards. And it was just like, I thought it was interesting because can you say right now that they're better in 2021 with Mac than they would have been with Cam, who's like still a freak athlete. People talk about Cam Newton like he's like a janitor. Yeah. Still one of the most incredible athletes. I'll tell you, his throwing was terrible last year toward the end of the year, especially he can't throw a screen. I'm not Cam's agent or anything. I'm just saying, you know, maybe, you know, I thought it was interesting. So I shared it in the venom and hatred. So let's see, can I see the replies? I don't know if I got ratioed. So it was 150 replies. It's the quote tweets that get you. I had to mute it, not because like, oh, people are being mean to me, because like I couldn't use Twitter, because like it was just constant people mad about that. Like some people were like, yeah, Mac Jones sucks and will always suck. Other people were like, wow, you're comparing a 10-year vet former MVP to a rookie and they're comparable. That's great. It's like, I'm not saying Mac will never be good at football. I'm not saying Cam is this. I'm not saying I'm putting the stats on the internet. And I was
that already exist.
Yeah. And like I had to expound on it in a story that no one read because it's not on Twitter. And it was like,
it's true.
It was really just the stats. And it was like, man, people, it's a good, and this applies to a lot of things. This applies to anything throughout sports. And like people can manage to see what they want to see in just about anything. Like take a controversial call, put it on Twitter and see all the different replies from all. And it's the same video, the same evidence can mean all different things to all different people. And that applies outside of sports, but for our prism sake,
what's your take?
You could definitely make the argument that with Cam as a quarterback, they probably get more first downs. They probably run the ball more, and the defense wouldn't have been on the field as much.
They're probably 2-1. I mean, I don't know what I mean. They probably would have beat Miami. That's probably the only difference.
It's not a long term. You're not like, oh, Cam Newton for the next 10 years, but I'm still stuck on a little bit, and it's not a huge. It's not my main issue, despite what people are tweeting at me all week, did you have to cut him? Like, is Mac so good? And we've seen, you know, the Jets game, I say throw out because they didn't ask him to do anything. So you can't give him a plus or a minus on that. I mean, he was good the first week, but he also, on his first drive ever, turned around away from the rush backwards, which
twice.
Yeah, like if Zach Wilson did that, we'd be memeing it and gifing it and making jokes like LOL Jets. And then I thought last week, obviously there was no pocket, but that's where someone like Cam is probably
running around.
It would be much harder right now to play defense against Cam because teams are just teeing off on this quarterback knowing he's not a threat to run away. And they might need that right now with all the talent they added, the tight end and receiver, to have one defender focused on Cam could make all the difference in opening things up. And right now nothing's open. So it's, I don't know. I think it's a fair second guess.
I agree too. And the same thing with Sony Michel for as much hatred and he got around this league.
You got Brandon. Ask anyone that hates Sony Michel how they feel about Brandon Bolden handoffs on first and second down.
I don't know how Sony's doing in LA, but I loved Sony. I was a Sony stan
from
way back
last week. I don't understand. I don't understand yards. That move.
No, nobody does. Only the people that hated him because in Boston, we've discussed it, is the minute everybody wants you to draft high profile or whatever, first round, in the first round, that nobody wants an offensive lineman, defensive lineman. They want a wide receiver, running back, tight end, or like a cornerback. And the minute they do get that, they hate them. Because,
well, I want to add, there's people don't differentiate first round running backs. Like, you have Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, those guys in the top 6 compared to the 31st pick is a different type of running back. Like, you're not having the same expectations on him. Like, he's not a freak who can be Alvin Kamara. He is just a solid running back.
He was also good. He was good at running back. I don't understand. Like, he was good at it.
Ran straight, and he looked like he could catch in the preseason. I thought he was the best running back in preseason.
It's weird only because they obviously have the bodies. So Bill decided he had enough running backs, but then he's since decided he hates Ramondre Stevenson and apparently hates Damian Harris. So it's like
Bolden time now.
Well, and he hates JJ. He hates JJ too. He can't hide.
Loves him. Brandon Bolden though.
Yeah, that's part of that. I was like, I don't think he wants to disrespect Bolden by cutting him again, just because he cut him that one time and he's like, I'm not doing this again. Went to Miami immediately.
And then he crushed us. He had the best game of his career.
The Miami Miracle game.
He's one of two of the, eight COVID opt-outs that is actually still on the team with Hightower and Bolden. So that tells you where he stands with Bell. Like, that was like a mass exodus. It was like, this guy cut, this guy traded. Cannon traded. Like, Dan Vitale retired. It was just like, you took a year off, smell you later.
Hightower, I've got concerns about Hightower. He's strictly like an edge player now. I don't even think he plays linebacker anymore. He's just on the edge.
He's too slow. He's not. He's lost a step.
But Spike King. Like, the Spike King might have had me on this one.
This happened 2 years ago where he started. He looked like in the first 3 or 4 weeks, he looked like he forgot how to run. And he was like lumbering around. Cement and then he turned it on at the end of the year. So I'm not fully giving up on him yet, but he does look a little. He looks a little tight out there.
He does.
They were playing a guy last week. I cover the team. I cover all the sports, so I'm not exclusively covering the Patriots. But like, they played a guy at linebacker last week I have never heard of.
Is that the kid that brought him up
from the practice squad the day before and nobody had ever heard of him?
I had never seen his name before.
He made a tackle too. Yeah. And I saw that and I said, I don't know that man.
He's like one of those guys in preseason gets a duplicate number because nobody even cares that he's there.
He's wearing 54.
Is this bad that I miss John Simon? John Simon was Patriot legend.
I thought like Henry Anderson was supposed to be in pass. I thought like we saw Godshaw last week had a great play. Yeah. One in the first quarter, but the defensive line, like, and I think I put this in my story Monday, like, you've had Jacoby Brissett entering a game just to run a QB sneak twice and getting both of them. You had Jameis running a 3rd-and-1 sneak last week and getting them. You had the Jets, I think, were 1-for-2 on 3rd-and-1 or 3rd-and-2, and it's like, those are big plays. Like, that is, I mean, you lost the Dolphins game because of it, especially when it's a guy you know is only in there to do that one thing and you can't stop it. It's like, I thought that was a weird weakness last year, and it seems to be continuing despite, you know, the Barmore pick.
They couldn't have signed more defensive linemen. I don't think there was any left for anybody else. They took every single one of them, and they're
and they drafted Barmore.
I think Barmore's good, though. I think he's doing it. Yes.
You got to be able to stop a QB sneak. I guarantee you Brady's going to QB sneak right at Godchild's mouth at some point.
Probably.
Yeah.
That'll be a moment, though, when he sneaks in for a touchdown like he did last week.
It's not. I can't take
the spike. The spike will go over the banners. Like, it will be
spitting.
He's going to Lambo leap.
That's going to be odd when he starts throwing touchdowns. I don't know. That Brady lore is going to go away real quick. Everyone's just going to be really annoyed that the team
starts. I don't know that I'll be able to handle the half Bucks, half, you know, Pat's jersey.
Oh, yeah. I get
cheering.
That. I think, you know, in most, well, I'll say this. In 2006, I think it was, when the Colts came to, or Gillette, whenever Vinatieri came back for the first time, maybe it was like 07 or 08, 09. I forget. And Vinatieri got booed, and it's like, man.
Yeah, I remember that.
This man should never be booed. Like, he's a kicker, first of all. Yeah. And the Colts had a terrible kicker. And needed a kicker and overpaid for this kicker who had played in the franchise tag. The Patriots didn't want to pay him that money. Like, should he have not taken the money? Like, he had to take that deal.
That was like day one free agency, wasn't it, though? That was the one thing I was annoyed with. He went to the arch rival day one of free agency.
I know, but it's like, you can't boo this man. Like, of all the people, you shouldn't boo.
He won a Super Bowl.
Two of them.
Multiple.
Like, I think we lose perspective here. Like, in most cities, one Super Bowl, it's like what you get in your 35-year span. It's like the Snowball, he would have a statue in like City Hall Plaza. And like, you know, that would be the Super Bowl. Oh, I remember Super Bowl 36 in 2001. It's unbelievable.
Hugging in front of the statue.
Yeah.
I think the Eagles, they put up a statue of Nick Foles talking to the coach.
And then they fired the coach.
And they fired the coach immediately. Nick Foles got traded or benched immediately. But they have that statue. Right. Yeah. I mean, they never won a Super Bowl and they're all diehard fans. And it's not even a statue of a play. It's just them talking. I think if they're discussing the Philly special. The Philly special.
They shouldn't even want it though. I mean, that play was illegal. First of all, let's start with that.
That's true.
They didn't have enough people on the ball.
Also, the Patriots didn't try which I find
do you have any like insider info on why he didn't play? Like, what was he doing there?
No, and you know, Wickersham had that thing, and it's like, I think it the ultimate answer is not juicy. Like, there's no like salacious, because think about all the people that would know and would have spilled the beans by now. Like, I really think it is that simple.
I thought Butler said himself, no way he's like, didn't fit the game plan.
But the issue is, to me, like, okay, he had a bad week of practice, but like, he still played 100% of the snaps the week before. He still played 98% of the snaps in the season. And you have friggin' Jordan Richards and Johnson Batamosi out there who like
getting toasted by Alshon Jeffery.
And then Chung was out of position because he had to play like nickel basically. You had Batamosi on a 3rd and 4, I think it was a crosser to Aguilar. All you need is a tackle, and the guy can't do it. And he goes like, that's like, you didn't need Malcolm Butler to have 6 interceptions and be like crazy good. You needed him to make a tackle, which he was very good at. But even so, it's like second, third, fourth quarter. Because he was bad at practice on Wednesday, he can't play anymore. Like that boggles my mind.
I just remember seeing Chung the back of his jersey 3 times against Alshon Jeffries.
Because that was the last time position he should have been playing.
Yeah, that was the last time Alshon Jeffries done anything.
That's why he was let leave as a free agent in the first place, because he couldn't. He's not a deep safety.
Yeah, and like the whole thing, like, are they run by feelings now? Like, it's like, oh well, he yelled at me in practice. It's like, so what? It's football. Like, I just, people yell at Bill O'Brien and Tom Brady almost murdered each other one game. Yeah, and fist then they, fight, you know, on the sideline.
I saw an article that came out today, and this made me laugh out loud, that O'Brien was blowing it and trading all of his players so he could be the coach in waiting for the Pats.
Yeah, basically why he traded Hopkins and all that crap, which is another, that's a Wickersham thing. Yeah, from his book.
Yeah, I have a theory on the Wickersham stuff, because a lot of stuff came out about the Patriots, you know, in 17, 18, 15, 16, 17, 18. And then, you know, you start to get stuff about the Texans too. And like, what power hungry weirdo behind the scenes worked for the Patriots from 15, 16, 17, 18, and then went to the Texans in 18, 19, 20. And it's like, who would benefit from like trashing Bill O'Brien anonymously? Obviously Jack Easterby. So it's like, I have my questions about that weirdo's role and all that. And I'm sure he's listening right now. Like, that's,
he's an avid listener of the Malcolm Go podcast.
He messages.
I've been trying to get him on. I dislike him.
We talked about him more than we should have.
Yeah, nobody knows who he is except for the 4 people in this podcast currently. But
no,
it's
true.
About him nonstop.
It's like Alex Guerrero, Jack Easterby. Like, it's like the deep cuts of
really is of the deep Patriots cuts history. Of the Patriots history. That's what we talk about. Is this?
But one of the things, like when the some past Wickersham stuff came out, it was like Brady demands all teammates call him sir.
Yeah,
and it's like every Patriot has come out and been like, oh man, I met Tom Brady. He came up to me. He was like, hey, I'm Tom Brady. And I was like, I know, man, that's so cool to meet you. And he was like, so nice. And then it was like, oh, and I thought like, there must've been people testing the reporter to be like, will he believe this? Like Brady threw a fit because he wasn't Patriot of the Week once. And it's like, I don't know.
Didn't
like,
exist ever.
Well, could you imagine like Brady going up to James Harrison and be like, hey, you'll call me sir, and that is what you'll refer to me as.
Standard like, attention. Like, when I talk to you.
Yeah.
I miss James Harrison. That was a fun, like, four-week period of life.
That was why did that happen? Nobody.
Steelers
got. Don't know why.
You know what? He was pretty good, too.
He was really good.
Started in the Super Bowl. Played most of the.
Yeah, he was a rock in the Super Bowl, but it didn't really matter. But I got to ask him at media night because, excuse me, by the way, I've got the seltzer,
the acid
upflux
reflux
going on. So if I come up with weird burps, that's what's going on. But
there'll be no editing, so it doesn't matter.
I followed Harrison on Instagram for a while, and it's just he would lift millions of pounds of weights. And like he would have like they'd be like hanging on strings for extra resistance, chains, all that stuff. Like it's incredible to watch. And then he signed with the Patriots, and he was definitely working out at a Planet Fitness. Like I recognized the purple and the yellow in his picture. So I was down in Minnesota, and I was like, hey, did you work out at a Planet Fitness? And he was like, no. And I was like, oh, because it looked like you posted something and it was like it had the Planet Fitness color. I was like terrified at that point. And he was like, nah. And I was like, it was like a week ago. And he was like, oh, I don't know. I went to some gym. And I was like, okay.
You remember, they had pizza and bagels or whatever they lay out.
Yeah, it was a health facility. There was no judgment. Imagine they pulled a lunk alarm on him. He's just like,
he definitely
rips it out of the wall. And probably
he was not allowed to bring his gallon jug of water in for starters.
He's a big man. He's a big strong
His
man.
Shoulders were the size of my body, and that there's no doubt about that.
His head.
Who?
One thing I found about a lot of these pro athletes is like their faces are so much bigger than ours, and it's like I had no chance to be a pro athlete with this.
Because your face. That's the only reason, though. That's literally the
structured jawline. Tom Brady's got a structured jawline. He's I was looking at it. I'm just horrendous with Brady, so it's like I'm just such like so deep into his life that it makes no sense. I comment on like his Instagram incessantly. I'm surprised I'm not blocked, to be honest with you. But now he's starting like this new fashion label, and I'm like already all in. I don't even know what it is. There's like little teasers that come out, and I'm like, I'm gonna be showing up to work in construction and be in one of these little Brady dress shirts. I'm like, everyone says Brady, man, it's brand new fall lineup. So
that's interesting because I was like, who's gonna want that? And now we know.
That's exactly the Brady disciple.
That you're looking at the guy. That's
I told
guy
you I was
right
I'm TB12 in the streets, but I'm Brady in the sheets. That's me.
All right.
Is that good? Yeah. I'm not sure that's good, is it?
I don't know. We'll find out. I didn't get the TB12 pajamas. I didn't get those. Those were hot for a while. But yeah, I buy.
He sells
much.
A lot of things like massaging, like balls. What do they call them? Like rubbing, like the balls that
orb.
Vibrate.
You call it an orb?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I don't know, man. Like that just seems like a massage thing you can get at like Brookstone
anywhere.
For 40
yeah,
bucks.
Everything there is the same as if you were at Five Below, you know, but it's got a TB12 logo on it, so it's like $60. I tried some of his dumb supplements once just to be like, you know, I'm part of the team. I can do this. I'm super healthy now. And I forget what I got, like the new stuff he came out with, and nothing. Not an ounce of difference in anything I did. And I'm not an unhealthy person. I'm somewhat active. I exercise, say, twice a week, maybe. So we're basically on similar yeah. Levels. But you know, I took them and I was like, I don't feel anything. You know, you take a pre-workout, your face is buzzing off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like 2 minutes in, I don't know. I took his all of his stuff.
Focus.
Just, nothing. Yeah. Focus.
Man. Yeah.
So we're going to get MJ10 soon. That's going to be a little bit different. That's going to look a little different.
That's another thing with Mac is like, he needs a year to get his body built for the NFL.
He lost
like,
weight
I think
though.
It
he
good.
Looks better.
I thought he looked good in that photo.
The way
the
he's getting hit though, like I would want a muscle crushed. Somewhere. Yeah. Somewhere from like here to here, I'd want
he
a muscle.
It. Yeah, he definitely. I don't know how he has. I don't know. There's people like that. There was a fat kid that I grew up with named Robbie, and he had a very attractive family, and he was like clearly like the ugly duckling, and he was he had red hair and red freckles. If you're listening, Robbie, I still love you. But anyway, he was overweight, but the kid was the best athlete that I've ever known, and he was. I mean, he was probably 5'9".
Maybe I'm overrating it.
Yeah.
Like, are you calling Matt Jones an athlete? I'm going to go on a list.
Well, like Cam Newton has one of the best like sculpted bodies in the world and he couldn't throw a screen pass. Justin Fields is coming up in the same build, had the worst offensive performance in 40 years. And then like Eli wins Super Bowls.
He
Brady
like
doesn't exactly have, you know, the body of a Greek god. It's just if you can stand there and be loose. I don't know.
Punch Brady in the stomach.
Who is the number one NFL player that you've seen that like doesn't look like they belong in the NFL, but is really
a
good?
Kicker.
Roethlisberger.
I mean, that's a lock.
He not even be allowed on the streets. I mean, definitely not in bars.
Like player.
Oh, non-quarterback.
What about Will Fork? I mean, Will Fork, like he looks like a competitive eater.
Andrews just looks like a regular guy to me.
Well, Will Fork is like one of the most insane athletes in the world. Same
ever.
Thing with like Vita Vea, like where it's like you weigh 400 pounds, like, and you can do things that 99% of humans can't do. It's insane. And I think Will Fork was the same. So you might not know it just by looking, but then he like catches an interception in Oakland and it's like, what?
Yeah. There was a time my cousin was actually great friends with Dan Copen and we used to hang out in the parking lot. These are the glory days, like 2004 to 2010 ish, you know, old, you know, undefeated team, all that crap. And then during the undefeated season, we were out playing beanbags, and Dan Copen and all the guys came out. A lot of Patriots would come out afterwards. And
is that cornhole?
And,
by the
way? we played cornhole and all this crap. And Mike Vrabel came out, and I was like, I was in awe. I never saw Mike Vrabel before in person, and he was huge, and he's just ripping cigarettes. I mean, one after the other. Whoever they played, he had like 3 sacks, and he was just, I'd never stopped smoking cigarettes. I was like, this guy is a maniac. I couldn't believe
it. I mean, for like a decade, there was always a fat lip in his mouth. I don't know if someone made him stop doing that. So he's always
he does it on the sidelines still.
Like Uncle Buck, he just switched it up. You know what I mean? Every once in a while, you got to switch it up. Keep your body guessing.
So I have a question.
Go
Always got the question.
They said there is a former Patriot that we're trying to get, right?
Is they? It Philip? I don't trust
there's some source. I couldn't remember. It was Zolak. Christian. Zolak said it on the radio. The man, the myth, and the legend. It's going to be Philip Dorsett, obviously, right?
I don't think so.
I didn't hear this, so I haven't had time to think about it. A former what about
and it's not Jamie Collins? Collins. It's not. Okay. That was the one thing he said.
It's not Antonio Brown, I don't think.
No, he's too good. He's not good enough. He couldn't make this team.
Good question. It's not Amendola.
All those guys.
I don't think Amendola is saving this team. So I don't know. Speaking of which, because he's on Houston, not to change the subject, I don't know the answer to that. What if they lose to the Buccaneers, which I think we all kind of see as a. What if they like then just lose to Houston in week 5? Like
they could.
They're in Dallas.
They very well could.
Because then they got Dallas the next week, right?
Imagine if Davis Mills beats Mac Jones.
It's on the road in Houston, right? And Houston for some reason has a. Like they won a game. I don't know.
They beat Jacksonville though. It doesn't really.
That doesn't really. That's a fake team.
They're kicking ass tonight. So.
But then are you they get, really?
Then you I get. Then you get Jack Easterby. You're gonna get more Jack Easterby tweets.
That's true. There will be some juicy scoops next week that we are not anticipating.
I know that you always tweet out, and I love that his it cringes me to no end. I get douche chills every time I try to watch the Jack Easterby speech where he does the Boston accent and the New York accent.
We parked the car. Everyone's always walking around like we parked the car, and it's like good. Jack. Nobody walks around talking about parking cars, man. Like,
the guy is good. He's got good stage presence.
What you looking at?
This is New York. So anyway, why don't we just pick the game? What do you think is going to happen? Right. I mean, what do you think is going
to
happen, Ty?
You want me to start?
Start. Why don't you open up? I mean, you're going to be the bad guy here. I don't know.
I'm going to be honest. I have Pats 29-27.
I agree. I love it.
I really just
You know what?
All right, here, let me
29. How are we getting 29?
Here's my thing is that Tom Brady has lost to so many Belichick disciples. I mean, Patricia, Crennel, Mangini. There's others. I don't know who else. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Oh, everybody. McDaniels.
Lost to McDaniels when he was with the Broncos, exactly.
O'Brien. No, did he never lost
to O'Brien? I don't think he lost to O'Brien, and I don't think he lost to Flores.
Mangini.
He did lose to the Mangini.
He must have lost to Flores just because Miami, but maybe. No, they lost in week 17.
He lost 17. To Flores.
Week 17, right. they lost the bye because of Flores.
That's right. Now he's going up against the king. But you know, a lot of people today were saying they're going to run that defense that they stopped Peyton Manning with. You know, where they made him Sean Marino run like 300 times, and I was like, yeah, but that was all about like losing the time. You know, the time of possession and being able to score points. So I'm still going to go. All right, I'm going to do it. Patriots 24, Bucks 21. Defense scores 10 points. How do you score 10 points? They score 14 points.
I don't think the Patriots are going to kick a field goal.
You think the Patriots are going to score that much, though? Like,
I think they are. I think they're going to run the ball.
You said the same. They can't. They don't do that either.
I don't care. It's an optimistic podcast.
I agree. I think that if the Pats are going to win, it's going to be like 17 to like, and they're going to have to hold Brady to like 10, which isn't going to happen.
Has Brady had, I think he's had over 30 points in like, some outrageous
probably every game. Yeah, but if they're going to win, it's going to have to be like that. So I'll go Pats 17, and Brady throws no touchdown, 17-3.
I'm going like 42-20. I think the Bucks are going to make a laugher out of it. Now, if you want to be optimistic, like they got to get home against Brady. You know, Aaron Donald did that last week. Unfortunately for the Patriots, they don't have Aaron Donald.
Not yet.
But, you know, they have guys that might be able to get in there. And if you want to really be optimistic, honestly, it's that the Bucs defense absolutely sucks right now.
Mm-hmm.
They rank dead last in pass yards. They rank dead last in touchdowns allowed. They're dead last in sacks. Like, they're awful. Despite bringing back everybody, I guess their pressure rate is good. But, like, who cares if you're not getting the sacks?
They signed a guy today who's going to start Sunday.
Richard Sherman. I don't think he's going to start.
Yeah, probably. I mean, their defensive backfield. I mean, I don't want to make a big deal about Dean in the backfield because I don't even know his first name. I just know his name's Dean.
Maybe it could be Mr. Dean Dean.
But, you know, they have, you know, the front that they had last year with the Super Bowl that made Patrick Mahomes absolutely miserable for an entire Super Bowl. But they've been awful this year. So I don't know maybe this is the week with a, you know, an offensive line that doesn't have it going, that that defense finally wakes up and makes life hell for Mac Jones. But if you want to be optimistic, you find it in those numbers that their pass defense sucks. Mac will be able to cook a little bit. Kendrick Bourne will get open. Aguilar will get open. Jonnu Smith will learn how to catch, and they can move the ball. And then what happens on the other side, I honestly don't know how you can be optimistic about Tom Brady going against
him. J.C. Jackson might be able to stop one of those guys, and I don't even know if he can do that.
Godwin, because Godwin sometimes doesn't have –
Mike Evans seems like the guy that he would go against, because it's like he's like a kind of a straightforward guy, I would think.
Do I have it right when like Gilmore would always cover the number one, but if it was someone who was
gifty,
it was either someone who was bigger or faster, they would put JC on him. Like when they played Houston,
it was usually bigger.
Did he cover Hopkins?
That's wrong. Decide, because I feel like they switched it up a lot. Like
they would always put JC and McCourty.
JC's going to be on this guy 100% because he's always covering the bigger guys, and then they'd switch it on you. It's really tough to try to figure.
Well, McCourty can't guard Godwin. He will get. I love McCourty, but he will get cooked.
Antonio Brown is my main concern.
That's the thing. Antonio Brown became this like circus shot sideshow, and like we all forgot that he was. Most of the time he played like the best receiver in the world. He's back to doing that again.
Last year was like he's like the third receiver there, and he's better than everyone there. And then you
remember the game week one, it was another banner ceremony, I think 2015. And Butler manned him up the whole game and was like living inside his jersey. And Brown still had like 8 catches for like 110 yards. It was like and a touchdown. Butler's helmet was like in his chest, and he would just be like
I remember that game, and I was like, is Malcolm Butler our number one cornerback? Because it was a year after they had Revis, and I was like, is Malcolm Butler? I know he made that interception that one time, but is he that good? And then, he was good. That was a good game for
him. They used him to cover Brown in the 16 AFC Championship, and he manned him up all game. And it's like, this guy makes like $700,000, and he just manned up Antonio Brown in an AFC Championship game. Like, pay this guy? And then they were like, Wait till next year. We'll take care of you, Malcolm.
You've got to earn it.
Mike, where'd you get started?
I started at Nesson. Well, yeah. I covered like high school football and stuff.
You ever cover the Sachems?
Salem? No. Saugus? Yeah. No. I was more in the Winchester Sachems, I believe they were. Like, I covered league. I covered Woburn. And then I got a job at Nesson for 3 years. Went to CBS right before Super Bowl 46. I started, and I've been there ever since.
Love it. Nesson guy. I can't get Nesson anymore, and YouTube TV keeps taking away all my channels. So.
That's all right. The Red Sox lost to the Orioles tonight. So.
Did they lose?
It's so bad. They got fucking blown out, man.
They faced a pitcher with a 6.71 ERA or 7.61 ERA.
Scored one
run against
them. And the Yankees are about to win, which, I mean –
you'd actually rather the Yankees
since
than
they traded
than the Jays.
Since they traded,
what about
Mookie
the
Betts,
Mariners?
I've went AWOL on the team. I took my son this year just to give him the experience. He's 6, and he was like, "This is miserable." I was like, "You're right. Let's go home." And then I can't watch it. I hate John Henry so much that I can't even.
LeBron Boston James is a proud owner of the Boston Red Sox, so that's why I support.
I mean, I was hoping for a one game playoff just because, like, I want to work next Tuesday night. And like kind of space my week out a little bit more. I would like to have the day off and work around that personally. But outside of that, it's like they can't field. They can't do it. Like they'll never win a series. So it doesn't really matter.
They can't
win a one game series. That'd be sweet.
They could. Anyway, you never know.
This dumb whatever app I'm using, Google Meet, is going to die in 1 minute. So, Mike, I appreciate you coming on. I think you're going to give a bump to the pod. I love it. I respect it. Thank you so much for coming on. And
appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. And
thanks for your time.
Look, you got anything to promote? We follow your columns, your Twitter, of course.
You know, actually, I like my picks column this week. Go to search Hurley's picks, Brady Belichick, and it'll come right up. It's
Patriots 20.
I was driving home yesterday and listened to an hour of both stations like tearing apart the dynamic of Belichick and Brady. I'm like, these people don't have it right. So I sat down and I laid it straight.
I like it. Correct. All right, boys. I respect it. Thank you, guys.
All right, Mike.
Go Pats. Thanks, Mike. See ya.
Go Pats.
Pats, go. All right. Well, we lost KP. It's just me and Tyler. Tyler didn't get a lot of. You didn't get a lot of words in there. Off camera.
I was the only guy off camera, no one knew when I was going to talk. So I didn't want to just interrupt the whole time. I tried to show some professional broadcasting skills.
I didn't even get to use my soundboard.
Right, I'll tell you something. Go fuck your mother.
I like to use my. Sometimes I like to see.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Things here I could use.
You ever suck a guy's cock?
I could use all this stuff.
I'll tell you this quick story that happened to me today. I was in Riviera at a restaurant.
Ooh.
I was wiring some oven.
Wiring an oven?
Oh,
tell us more.
I'm an oven guy now. So I run outside to my truck and they're to grab something, and they're painting the crosswalks.
Yes,
in
the, sir.
Like on Riviera Beach, right? We're like right on
the beach. The sand.
So one of the lanes is closed. So now it's one lane. The guy's like painting the crosswalks. He has guys walking across the street. And the owner, or like the guy who's kind of run the show, was just on the phone, just in his boots and his yellow jacket, just like talking, whatever. He's kind of like directing traffic as it's coming.
Yeah.
And eventually he like tells this guy to stop so his guys can like walk across the street. And this guy pulls up. He's in a Jeep and he's like, who the fuck do you think you are? And I'm like, here we go. This is the best.
We're
like,
back. And yeah, we're back.
North Shore Revere fight, right? And so this guy pulls up and he's just screaming at him. He's like, what do you think? You're not a fucking cop. He goes, get the fuck out of the way. And I'm like, and the guy's like, oh yeah, buddy. He's like, I got guys here. And he's like, fuck you. He's like, you're not a cop. Who the fuck do you think you are? Screaming, right?
He's yelling at the crosswalk painter.
Yeah. And the guy's like, buddy, what are you going to do, hit me? He's like, go fuck yourself. The guy's like.
Exactly.
He goes, if I didn't have my grandchildren in the back seat,
no.
I would get out of this car and beat your ass.
That's probably
my
dad.
Get out of the car. He's like, would you stop thinking you're a cop, you faggot?
Oh, no, we dropped the F-bomb.
Yeah. Then the other guy comes over. He goes, what do you think? He goes, fuck you. You retard, get the fuck out. They're just screaming at
each other. Shouting epithets at each other.
And I'm like, all right, this is Revere Beach. So I walked over and I was like, all right, guys.
It hasn't changed.
My
wife brings
want,
my kids there all the time. Just like my mom used to bring me there. I didn't know another beach existed. I was like, this is the best beach in the world.
Oh, I was like, all right, so this is it. This is where everyone is talking about, like what all the problems are. It's like, oh, it's here at Revere Beach.
Yeah.
Just two animals just going at it over really nothing. 10 seconds of a delay, and they were just both ready to. I mean, they were in their 60s, both of them. And
really,
they were both ready to swing at each other. I'm like, all right, this is.
I love this.
Listen, you guys are just out of your minds.
True North Shore. It's hard to tell people what it is. You know what I mean? And you just feel it. You know how like when you go to the new, like, I don't know if you've ever been to New Orleans, but you feel like you're in New Orleans the minute you land in New Orleans. I feel like that when I get to the North Shore. Like when I land at Logan Airport and I like cross that little border that's 5 feet away that says Revere or says Winthrop or whatever, I'm like, there's something in the air.
Yeah. Like I looked at both of those guys and was like, both of those guys have hit someone with a 2x4 at one point in their life.
Bats.
Like,
they have bats in the car for this exact moment.
Yeah, these guys are both live for this. And I'm like, and they're in their 60s and they're still doing it.
Yeah. Like, they used to get, that's why they called, my dad would call guys like that hitters. I think it's an old Italian term. Guys like that would call them hitters. They'd always have a metal baseball bat in their back seat, like in their old Lincoln Continental at the bottom.
I was like, all right, this
I've
is good.
I've had nothing good, but. Guess what, boys and girls and children of all ages? I will be in the Tampa Bay Times this week, so I'll tweet it out because I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but it's a John Romano column, does sports down in Tampa. Needed to get some information from your boy that the NFL Network missed out on. But, you know, that was we'll see how that goes. Maybe they'll paint me in a good light. We got to get this podcast blowing up. I mean, we took off with too many weeks last year, so it slowed down. But I think Michael Hurley, good friend of the show, WBZ, CBS Boston. You can find him. He's great on Twitter, especially if you're a Patriots fan.
Tune in next week. Doug Flutie is coming on to talk about the old days. So
I would give Doug Flutie a noogie if he came on my show. I don't like Doug Flutie.
You don't like Doug Flutie?
Well, I do like him. But I just he was just one of those guys that he just reminded, like, I don't know.
Did he hit the dropkick? I was at the dropkick game.
Were you at the dropkick game? I don't like Boston College, for starters. And I don't know. Something about Flutie bugs me. Does he still do Notre Dame games?
I don't know.
I don't like his.
I didn't know you. Oh, because it was a Syracuse thing?
It was not that. I just didn't like. Well, I liked Boston College growing up, and then I didn't get in, obviously. So I went to Syracuse instead, safety school. Ever heard of it? And then, it wasn't that. It was just, I don't know.
It feels a little like
Flutie.
That.
I just never like, you know, they make too much of the Flutie thing. Like, enough with the Flutie already.
Enough with the Hail Mary throw. Like, they play that thing constantly, but.
But that's their big play.
He had a good NFL career.
He was better in the CFL. But, yeah, he was okay. But, like, I always felt that he was just, he's like a, he was a Ryan Fitzpatrick before Ryan Fitzpatrick existed. He was like just a guy that would like take the starter's job, even though because the starter was supposed to be good, but it was always shitty. You know what
this
I mean?
This is what we don't have enough of in the league right now.
More
there
fluties.
Should be like seven veterans who are still in the league that just aren't right now that are better than
Cam.
All these rookies.
I like Matt. I do. I like Mike's point. I mean, do you keep? I mean, you maybe should have fucking kept Cam.
We were very much on the Cam train. I get.
I was
why...
ready to start with Cam. I wanted to go through week four with Cam and then start Mac week five because you knew I didn't think Cam would ever beat Brady, but like, don't make them go head to head. Don't make Cam go. I mean, Mac go head to head with Brady in his first season.
I mean, I don't really care about that. I don't think that's like we're not. Other people are comparing, like, oh, is this Belichick's legacy because his record with a rookie quarterback versus Brady's record with his team? It's like, that's not what we need to decide.
I'm just done talking legacy talking Brady versus Belichick. But, and that Wickersham book is might as well have been written by Stephen King. And I'm telling you.
It's nonsense.
It's 100% nonsense.
Belichick said we had a relationship built off of love. Because, and that's what it was.
That's friends.
And Tom said the same thing. It's like, why does anyone else care about this?
Just Tom Sr.
But, all right.
I got a hair across my ass for Tom Sr. and Alex Guerrero right now.
I mean, the two of them.
Put him in a wheelchair real quick.
Oh, you had a lot of good tweets this week. One of them was...
I don't stop tweeting it.
You had a great... I almost wanted to ask him that, and I didn't want to like ruin your... Like, I was like, at what point does the amount of tweets you get from Tony become creepy? At what point do you tell your...
Three, four a day, anyhow.
At what point do you tell your girlfriend, like...
He's a good Twitter because he's like... He's funny and he knows his shit.
Yeah.
And Jeff Howe, same way. And they interact with you. They're not like bigger than the game. You know what I mean?
No, he is funny.
He's not bigger than the game.
Yeah.
I respect it. You know what I mean? He's on CBS. And I mean, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, he picked me a needle in the haystack out, but he got this sweet juice coming out of my mouth. That sweet, personality.
Did you ask him to come on? Like, just
I asked him yesterday. Yeah. Or today. I don't remember.
And he was just like, oh, yeah, sure.
Well, he said that he wanted, after we did the interview last year, I was like, I got a podcast. Like, if you ever, he's like, oh, yeah, I'll do it anytime, whatever. So I fucking called him on his,
attaboy.
I had a call. I would call his bluff, see if it was going to happen.
Yeah,
whatever. All right. Anyway, do we really think the Pats are going to win?
Yeah. I mean, I really.
It's a night game.
It's a night
Friday
game.
Night, under the lights, nothing better. That's Dino Sacka, Saugus Agents.
The Pats haven't not been in any game. Like, they should have won week one. They should have won week one, and so they should be 2-1. They had a chance to win last week.
Yeah, if the defense does their job at the end of the game, they could have at least tied it.
They didn't get a single bounce their way. Like, even came down to that like kickoff. They kicked the ball down to the 1 yard line instead of bouncing like straight. It just took an immediate left turn and went out of bounds and got the ball 40. Yeah. It's like, so I don't know. I think
they're making a lot of boneheaded mistakes. That they used to like just count other teams on doing.
Yeah,
know
and so I thought they played real bad last week. And going they had a chance to win.
You know, going forward on 4th-and-1. All right, that's awesome. And then immediately jump off sides. You know, Mac Jones is doing his job, doing a hard count, and Hunter Henry runs 15 yards down the field. I don't know.
I mean, so it was just a bad game. Harris had a bad game. The tight ends had a bad game. Everyone had a bad game. The defense, who played well at the end, they looked like
blew
shit.
It.
So
Taysom, they had 10 guys on the field on like the last. You know, on Taysom Hill's touchdown at the end. I'm like, I watch on the field. Like, they have 10 guys. 6 guys are running on, and then they keep running back. I'm like, did one of you go out there? Yeah. No one could figure out who was supposed to be. At least one of you jump on.
And it was just they couldn't, and they lost. So I think the Pats are kind of better. And Tampa, I don't know. They're fine. There's no Antonio Brown and no Jason Pierre, which they had last week. And Gronk's banged up. Gronk might not play.
AB's playing.
AB is playing?
Oh, yeah.
That's a problem.
Do we have one acceptable cornerback? And he's going to be on probably Evans. So you're going to have to double team probably Antonio Brown, I would say.
I don't even think you cover. I think you... Yeah, I mean, I don't
know. Can Duggar handle Gronk one-on-one at this stage in his career? Probably.
Yeah, and banged up. Like
he wouldn't do great, but I mean, he'd be able to... He'd probably slow him down. He wouldn't be 2011 Gronk on Duggar.
And they haven't really been able to run the ball. Like, our linebackers actually match up well against their backs. Like, Fournette and Jones is good for Van Noy, Hightower, and Bentley. So, Bentley's looked awesome.
He has. Yeah. The defense, there's a lot to be excited about. It would really help to have Gilmore there this week. But, you know, whatever. I'm going to be happy to see Brady. He's going to break the record in the first drive. And
I'm gonna be in the parking lot before the game, going, "Sir, no open flames, no open flames, sir."
So you got to put on that yellow jacket after you come to my tailgate, or before?
Because What do we say about alcohol consumption in public?
We know
in a cup.
In the trash, sir. You know, urinating on the asphalt. All right. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's going to be a good time. Anyway, I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Brady coming home. It's only happened like six other times and never been in this, you know, going to his old Super Bowl winning head coach versus
and this
his
is
quarterback.
Like, compared to like he was comparing Jordan to Chicago, like this is it. There's no other
game. Yeah, there's no second one.
So this is different because there's one. It's one and done, and it's impossible to happen again.
Yeah. Well, so we'll see how it happens. Hopefully, you know, things end up on our side.
Go Pats.
Go Pats, go.
Do your job. All right, don't try to make too much out of it. Just do your job. 7-8 months ago, right? All for this moment. It's about honor. It's about respect. We win this game, your honor. Your kids are honored. Your family's honored. We have three.
Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted. Intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler.
Stacking. Warner goes back to throw, and here's the blitz by Mike Brable. The pass is intercepted. It's off by Kyle Law. 30, 25, 20, 15. Touchdown. Kyle Law picks it off and takes it to the house. Lewis. Four. Adam Vinatieri. 48-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. And it is good.
It's good. It's good. Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions. The Patriots are Super Bowl champions. The best team in the
league.
Hey.
Did it.
I love you, man.
Bro, I love you. I love you. You worked your ass off.
You're the greatest quarterback in the world, man.
Hey, I love you, man.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.